You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Today we are so excited to introduce a brand new series to the show. And my personal hope for this series is that it will unite us as women and help us remember that we're all having similar life experiences, no matter who you are. This series is called On My Mind. Each month, we'll invite a woman you admire to share what's been on her mind lately, both professionally and personally. It's good girlfriend chat at its best, swapping the experiences and the thoughts that make us happy and also push us and make us grow. And we are starting at the top shelf today. I'm so thrilled. My first guest, my first On My Mind guest, is First Lady of Utah, Abby Cox. She is a strong voice in our state and has been since her husband, Spencer Cox, was sworn in as governor in 2021. Abby has inspired Utahns to treat one another as equals with kindness and with compassion. You can see it in her smile. This woman is warm and this woman is real. She and Governor Cox, we always like to note, are high school sweethearts and the proud parents of four children. Abby, welcome back to Studio 5.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are honored, and you are the perfect person to kick off this conversation and this series for us.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. I think there's a lot on my mind.
So. Good. We want to hear all about it. First of all, I'm marveling at kind of the timeline. It's been 3 years since you took on this role. That's wild. Time goes fast when you're having fun. Is that what we say?
It's fast and slow. I don't know. It's crazy.
How are you feeling? You're feeling settled, I'm sure. But what has surprised you looking back over the last 3 years?
I think for me, it's the sheer volume of what we've been doing. It's one after another. We think, oh, this is such an amazing thing that happened that we experienced. And all of a sudden it's like, well, we're on to the next.
Mm-hmm. The pace.
It's a lot, yeah.
And how do you keep the stamina? I talk about being settled, and you are. It's clear the confidence and the pace in which you've embraced this role. How do you keep up that pace, though?
Well, I have a great team around me, but also I love to exercise. I love, you know, doing those things that help my mental health and physical health. That helps me to really center myself and just keep going.
I have a girlfriend who says sanity starts with a good speed walk.
Absolutely.
Right? That's where it begins every morning for so many women. Well, professionally, let's dive into the umbrella of this conversation. On My Mind, professionally, you have a lot of balls in the air. What's grabbing your attention and your heart right now?
Well, right now, I've been thinking a lot about unified sports with Special Olympics. Mm. There's a lot of work that we do in foster care, with educators, service, and a lot of it is really heavy work. You know, child welfare, the things our teachers are experiencing, those are just heavy, heavy topics, which are important. But the joyful thing that I get to do is unified sports with Special Olympics. This is where kids with and without disabilities play on the same teams together. We have many of our high schools, middle schools, and elementary schools now participating in unified sports. And it's so exciting because this time of year, we're thinking of March Madness. We're thinking of all the basketball that's going on. Yeah. We love our Jazz, obviously. But we have a very special event, which is our state unified basketball tournament that is going to be on March 8th at the University of Utah. We've previously had it at Weber State. We've outgrown that. And so there's so many kids participating. It's a joyful, joyful event.
I love that you underscore the joy of an event like this. I love the way something like this does bring people together. And I often say, and I assume you'll agree, that children are our best teachers. What do you learn from watching these kids interact?
Well, the beauty of unified sports is having children with intellectual disabilities and their typically developing peers creating the friendships. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You know, I've walked through these events and I've had experiences with my friends with all different abilities. Mm-hmm. And what I find is that when we find the connection, mm-hmm. the community that it builds, mm-hmm. But so often kids are, you know, and maybe there's bullying, but a lot of times it's just, oh, I'm friendly to somebody that maybe is in special education or something like that. But where are the true friendships?
It's taking away the distance.
Yes.
And the proximity is what forms that connection. My children attend an elementary school that is a hub for the special needs program, which I love. And they've become very familiar, I mean, in their vocabulary, in their presence, you know, with children like them who have different needs. And the other day, my seven-year-old said to me, just casually, in the throw and flow of a regular how was school chat, you know, he was talking to me about a friend. He goes, oh, and she has needs. And he moved on. You know, it was just part of their lives, and they embrace it so openly. And I've thought about that sentence, he has needs, she has needs, we all have needs. But it's that proximity that allows us to push past needs and gain a connection.
Yeah, and seeing people as humans, yes, instead of othering them.
Yes,
you know, and I think what's beautiful about Special Olympics Unified Sports is it creates this community and these true friendships as they're young and as they're growing and even in high school. And then what we can see, what I'm really passionate about as a former special education teacher, is how does that translate into academics? How does that translate into the rest of the school setting? Mm-hmm. When my friend I'm playing basketball with, I'm sitting in my classroom and she's not there. Mm-hmm. Why are, you know, how do we think about making sure that the classroom is inclusive? That those friendships and those connections are going all through, yeah, our communities, our, yeah, schools, are everywhere, not just in that place. And I think because we're creating friendships, then those other things take place.
Yeah, you're right. If inclusion is at the core and the center of what we do, the ripple effect becomes real. I love, yeah, your passion for this. Your background speaks to that, but I also love the joy that you say it brings to you and others who participate. When is that event again?
It is our Unified Basketball Tournament, March 8th.
March 8th. Okay.
At the University of Utah. Anybody's right. Welcome to come and participate.
Fantastic. Personally, what's on your mind, Abby? What are you thinking about right now? What personally, where is your brain and your heart spinning?
Yeah, you talked about, you know, all the things that are on your heart,
yeah,
and the things that we do, we go throughout the day. Mostly it's children. I think as women, it always comes back, and men, our dads too, it always comes back to our families.
Yeah.
And for me right now, I talk to many of my friends and navigating the world of adult children. Mm-hmm. I'm at the point where three of my four children are out of the house, navigating college and real life. And I always say, nobody prepares you for that.
Right.
Nobody prepares you for adult children.
And it's hard, that transition to, I mean, you're pre-empty nest, I'm not gonna label you yet, but was that hard for you to go from mom mode to empty nest mode?
Well, yeah, and we're not quite there
yet.
I do still have one in high school, but it's almost like I'm trying to fill her with all the things that I maybe thought I missed with the older kids.
Yeah.
But it really is this, I'm feeling like, how do I navigate, you know, their independence,
yes,
versus how much they still need me?
Yeah.
Where is that line?
And have you found the line?
I don't think so.
I don't know. How are you striving to connect with adult children then? Because I think every woman out there is saying, yes, I feel, yeah, that need to want them to fly, but also talk to me too.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, even financially, how much do you,
sure,
allow financial independence? How much do you not? I mean, how much,
yeah,
you know, and so we're navigating this. For me, it's been, you know, just make sure there's at least a connecting point. I mean, my oldest are boys, so it's a little different, I think. I think when my daughter goes off, that connection will be there. But boys are a little more independent, at least mine are.
Sure.
And so it's checking in at least once a week, you know, a phone call or something. Like, have I talked to them this week?
Yeah.
You know, talk about school, what's going on, what do you need? And rather than, you know, waiting for them to say, I need something. I think just having those relationships I'm trying really hard, and this is hard to do, but I'm trying really hard to not beat myself up, mm-hmm, thinking, what didn't I teach them? What, you know, they're making decisions that maybe I don't agree with,
yeah,
or
yeah,
that, you know, we have an opportunity to disagree,
yeah,
better, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but, you know, how do I have those conversations without still trying to be that mom mode, like,
yeah,
oh, don't do that, oh, that's a terrible decision, oh,
Yeah, because mom guilt is hard enough, but when it's retroactive.
Yes.
I mean, what are we supposed to do anyway? I like how you say you're trying to pour everything you didn't into your older children, into your daughter, but I think every woman can appreciate that. But I love the line that you've struck I sense you're almost anticipating needs. Like you're connecting, trying to stay ahead of it without hovering. That's a hard balance. It is. Yeah. Can you stick around?
Yes,
for
absolutely.
One more pause point. We'll be right back to hear more of what's on Abby Cox's mind after this. Welcome back to Studio 5. I am so honored to be joined by Utah's First Lady, Abby Cox, today. She is the first guest of our new series, On My Mind. So before the break, we discussed professionally what's on your mind. We discussed kind of those personal relationships that are on your mind, always on our mind as women. Personally, though, let's kind of turn the mirror forward. What's driving you right now? What are you thinking about as an individual woman as you continue on a path of progression and growth?
You know, I alluded to it earlier with our kids and disagreeing better. My husband has this past year been the chair of the National Governors Association. And we just got back from Washington, D.C. last week, where we spent the entire week there really talking about this idea of disagreeing better. And I've had to use these skills, and they are skills. Mm. And you know, the political season is upon us always. But this idea that, you know, you can have a different point of view, you can have a different perspective, but that doesn't mean we need to hate each other. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it in my family. I mean, just with our kids, we have differences. We have political differences. And this statistic really scared me. There was a statistic that said 30% of people have terminated a relationship, friend, family, over politics, political issue.
That's so sad. And as you describe it as skills, that's a purposeful word. And I think it's a very smart word because we don't have to just walk away. I mean, there are some hot potatoes you drop on the table and you don't touch for the sake of the relationship, sure. But I think the idea of developing sensible skills that you can, you know, employ and engage in a conversation, we can talk about these things. Yeah. We can disagree.
Yeah, and it's really being open. And the biggest skill I find, and I do this with my kids.
Teach us,
is tell me more about why you feel that way.
It's the why.
Tell me more. Yeah. And when people are able to, when they see that you're open to having this conversation, that you're truly listening to them, listening to understand, not listening to debate or defend.
Which that's hard.
It's very hard.
That can be tricky.
It is the hardest skill to learn.
Yeah.
It really is. I'm not great at it. I'm trying. But also it's going into life and conversations and places with an open heart. Mm-hmm. With this soul that's ready to listen and learn and to assume the best of the other person. What we're seeing in politics is a perception gap, meaning that, you know, conservatives think all the liberals believe this, mm-hmm. when really they're more like this. Mm-hmm. And same on the other side. And really, we think we're here, but in reality, we're really here.
Yeah, we always have more in common than we do differences. And I'm going to echo that sentence and borrow your words, a soul that is open and ready to learn and listen. Abby Cox, thank you so much.
Thank
it's always so refreshing and lovely to hear your perspective and to learn from you. So we appreciate your time today.